It's the last show of the decade, so we'll talk about my favorite games of the year and decade and look back at 10 years of news headlines. Tonight is December 29th, 2019, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So not, you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello. It is 2019. I can only say that for like two more days. I'm going to still write 2019 on my checks. What are checks? I don't know. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the last 2010s edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, which there really was none. This week. There really wasn't. As well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history, which is actually what we're going to do. We're going to reminisce over recent history tonight. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here, welcome. Thank you for coming out here during this holiday time where a lot of people are probably still with family or doing something else. New Year's is coming up. Please be safe. Whatever you do on New Year's, watch out for all the other idiot drivers, even if you're a great driver, if you are driving out somewhere on New Year's Eve. But if you're here, welcome. We are here every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. You can come join us. And I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And because it is a holiday week, you've got a really good chance of getting read. Just saying. You've got a good chance of it. A little bit later on, I might open up our Discord to see if anybody wants to call in. We have a green room chat channel in our Discord server, which you go to vognetwork.com/Discord, and you can call in and we can talk about stuff here on the air. Or you can comment on an episode over at vognetwork.com when it goes up. So we do actually have some comments from E3VL. Over there, if you want to hear other people's comments or you want your own comments heard, you should sign up over at vognetwork.com. We don't do anything with your information or anything, but you can go over there and leave comments there or in our Discord. So we have some text chat channels in Discord. So E3VL says, we were talking about the PlayStation 4 back button attachment that goes on the back of the DualShock 4. I think it's going to be a part of the PS5 controller. We're not sure yet. That's my prediction. And he says he hopes my theory is correct and the bumper button attachment is integrated into the PS5 controller and that the PS4, and since the PS4 controller is backwards compatible with the PS5, similar to the Wii Motion Plus attachment for Wii and Wii U. They've already stated it's going to be backwards compatible. So that's not a I wonder if. They've actually stated the PS4, the DualShock 4 works on the PS5. Believe it or not, the DualShock 4 works on the PlayStation 3 as well. So they've kind of gotten it working in both directions. His only worry is the battery life. Is it using the PS4 controller battery or using its own? It is most likely using the PS4 controller's battery over that data port on the 3.5mm jack. But with what it's doing, even that little screen that it's got, you might lose maybe 5 minutes of battery life. Like, it's not going to be a big battery suck. It's two buttons and a really cheap, you know, I'm not going to say cheap, but a very, very low power screen. So I think if there is going to be battery loss, but it's going to be like in maybe like the minutes rather than the hours. And by then, why count? That's my way of seeing it. We actually had a conversation last week on the show about gift wrapping and how I talk about how I'm terrible at gift wrapping and my wife is great at it. And he says you could always use gift bags. And the problem with that is, especially when you're in a relationship and when you have a wife who loves Christmas and she loves opening presents, she wants to open presents. Plus, it's really hard to fit an Instant Pot into a gift bag. Like, that would be a huge friggin' gift bag for this big, huge Instant Pot. Yes, we joined the cult of the Instant Pot here in the Black Wolf household. So if you have any, like, easy recipes for me, let me know. Because we've now got an Instant Pot, and apparently it's going to – change our lives. ActDev says the camera was out of focus, but it corrects itself. Yeah, I have the autofocus on, and it's because this camera, it's really weird. This camera, if I turn the autofocus off, the frames, like, it's got a lower frame rate. So I got to keep the autofocus on to keep a smoother frame rate. Rob Roberts says, Alan got an Instant Pot. Well, you know what? Now we're both the Black Wolf and the Roberts household. We're both in the cult of the Instant Pot. So send us your recipes, because I have no clue what I'm doing with the thing. And then E3VL does continue on talking about the Xbox and the naming structure. He says, Xbox name as a platform is okay. Like I said, we have an iPhone platform. May take a while for gamers to get used to it, especially since game consoles tend to have longer life cycles compared to Android or iOS. Plus, hardware specs for games is different from apps. Not really. You'd think that, but they're not, as they require more resources, especially when gamers expect 4K 60 frames per second. May see downgrade in graphics to for older system and console. Already seen this through Crackdown 3, as I think the graphics were lowered to cater to broader platform availability. As a mobile developer, I can tell you, no, the hardware specs aren't, like, they're just different hardware specs, but you definitely have to know, depending on what is on the, you know, the resolution of the screen. How many pixels does it have? How much memory does it have? What's the CPU speed? How many cores? All that stuff. All the same type of specs as here. You just don't see it because Apple hides it from you. And Android hides it from you. Android doesn't hide it from you as much. But Apple pretty much kind of hides all that from the user, so you don't know. And basically what they say there is you need an iPhone 10 or up to be able to use this. And that is hiding the software, the hardware requirements, because you can't put more memory in an iPhone. You can't put a better graphics card in an Android device or anything like that. So that's why they can obfuscate the hardware requirements. So from you, hardware specs for games is different from apps is not actually true. Hardware specs for games and for games on a console and apps on a phone are exactly the same. You just don't see them. You just don't, they're obfuscated from you, and that's what the Xbox brand is going to do, is they're going to obfuscate it by, you know, using the names. And he also says he hopes Microsoft doesn't release too many Xboxes, might get a Steam Box situation. You know how those sold. Steam Boxes sold poorly because Valve didn't know what they were doing with selling hardware. Same reason they got rid of the Steam controller, because they don't really know what they're doing with hardware, which is why I'm kind of worried about the Valve Index. But that's a whole other conversation for another time. But that's why they didn't sell. They weren't marketed well, and Valve was not creating any of the Steam Boxes. They were licensing that technology out to others, which is what they were doing initially with the VR, the HTC Vive. It was a Valve licensed product of their technology, but it was an HTC box. Microsoft's going to produce all the Xboxes. They're not going to contract out to Philips to create an Xbox unless they do something that I don't expect. So those were the previous comments from there. Thank you so much. It's always good to hear from you. I appreciate hearing from you, and you bring up some great points for discussion. The gift-giving season, we talked a little bit about the gifts. And I wanted to point out, show some stuff, because I thought this was kind of cool, what my wife got me. She got me a book, a big coffee table book, and it's actually a real book with paper in it. It's not an e-book. It's not an e-reader. It's called, but it's an actual big, huge, hardback book. It's called The Art of Atari. It's got a foreword by Ernest Cline, which is I'm not going to read. But it's essentially got, they go through and show, like, all the art that was created for the box art. So remember, we're talking like the Atari 2600. So like the game looks, you know, has like 8-bit numbers, but they had these artists create big, huge, you know, epic scenes and stuff for it. And like even for games that like had no, like, you know, they've got the box art for Othello, and it's got like this dude thinking, and he's playing the board game Othello. And then the game itself is just like, you know, circles and squares. The neat thing that this book does is it also profiles the artist. So you can actually go through here, and I'm going to find it real quick for the Twitch people. The basic programming cartridge had amazing, like, awesome box art of, like, this space shuttle, like, this astronaut playing with fiddles and, you know, playing with knobs and stuff. But they would actually give you, like, you'd meet the artist. Like, here's a Cliff Spohn, maybe. S-P-O-H-N. I don't know. And it has an interview with him and some of the stuff that he did and all that stuff. And it's not really just the Atari 2600. They actually show some of the other games that are on it. But also, they go into, and I'm going to show this so everybody can drink. They also showed prototypes. And one of the prototypes that they had is they made a VR headset for the Atari Jaguar. So here's they actually had VR, and it's a headset, and somebody has like this controller that he's holding like a gun, and so Atari had they also had in here like a neural interface, which I've used one before with games way back when. Here's the Mind Link. It's called the Mind Link, and basically you could control games with your mind. Is E.T.'s art in there? Metal Mayhem asks, is E.T.'s art in there? Not only is E.T.'s art in here, but in the table of contents, I found this funny. They actually have E.T. and Pac-Man in the table of contents. Everything else is the artist. They group everything by the artist that did the art, except they're like, you know you're going to want to see E.T., and you know you're going to want to see Pac-Man, so we're going to tell you exactly what pages those are on. So, And they even actually show the dig. So on the ET section, they actually show pictures from the dig. They've got several pages of like all the ads for it. So ET is in here. And it's a great book. It's going to be a great conversation starter for when I have like normal people around our house. And then, you know, they get to see like our coffee table books are not like their coffee table books. The Raiders of the Lost Ark, Questmaster says the art for that was great as well. Yeah. And it's all in there. So. The other thing, now, I didn't get this. I got this for my wife and I wrapped it. But I figured I'd show it. I haven't used it. She's used it once. But we finally did get a Ring Fit Adventure for the Nintendo Switch. So Ring Fit Adventure was the new experience for the Nintendo Switch. And it's basically, it's this big ring. It's a resistance ring. And you can stretch it or contract it. And like really fast or really, really slow. But it's got a thing that you put in the Joy-Con. And so up here at the top here, there's the plus button, the plus sign. And so you put your plus Joy-Con and you slide it in. So it snaps in, and so now you've got your Joy-Con attached, and then it's got another pouch that you put your other Joy-Con in, your minus Joy-Con. You put it in the pouch, and then you Velcro it to your thigh, and it's very snug, which is why it takes me a second to put it in. And then there's this Velcro band around it that if you have big thighs, you're going to have problems with it because it's not that great. But even then, it slides down a lot. So you basically just Velcro it to your thigh and jump around like a maniac. So So that's part of the workout, getting all the stuff in. So my wife has used it. She's played the mini games for it, and it really works like your core muscles, which is not something that gets worked out a lot and stuff. So she's actually still sore, but she's looking forward to playing it. We're going to put it in our workout room. That we have here. Yes, we have a workout room. First world problems, right? So we're going to put it in there, and she's going to try the actual adventure mode. I will not be doing it, but she will. So those are the gifts that I want to talk about for the holidays. And some people in our chat room have just gotten Nintendo Switches, so congrats. Welcome to the Nintendo Switch family. It is the end of the year, which means that everybody's doing their game of the year lists and influential games and games of the decade, which I'm going to change that up because I don't really have a game of the decade. I don't really even have a game of the year usually, so I always just troll everybody with my game of the year pick. But to give you some perspective, like Portal was my game of the year that came out. Katamari Damacy was my game of the year that one came out. So in that vein, My personal game of the year, which is the game I enjoyed the most this year, is, ladies and gentlemen, Untitled Goose Game. Congratulations to House House for winning. I have nothing for you. There's no graphic for your website. But Untitled Goose Game is really the most unique game that I've had fun with this year. I haven't played all the games, which is why I don't like say, oh, this is like, you know, the best game. This is just the game I enjoyed the most. And if you just got a Nintendo Switch, you should go pick it up. Or if you have Xbox Game Pass and an Xbox One, because it's not on PC. It's not on the PC Game Pass. You can get it on Xbox Game Pass, and you can try it. It's about 3 hours long, and it's a lot of fun. And that's what I'm going to choose as my game of the year. It's not the most technologically advanced. It's not Gears 5. It's not The Outer Worlds. It's not any of those games that like push the industry forward. It's a game where you play as a jerk goose. Yep. ActDeftis says Goose Game is my top three game of the year. Second goes to Tetris 99. That was a good one, too. Good old Battle Royale there. And the game of the year, so number three was Goose Game. Number two is Tetris 99. And number one is Pokemon Sword and Shield. And Questbush says Goose Game is rated most fun out of fun. So yes, so congratulations, Goose Game. You won out over VR games. I probably would have said Autica for my... But it's also... Yeah, because Autica's actually out now. They hit 1.0, so they're out of early access. That's probably my favorite VR game of the year is Autica from Harmonix. Not Beat Saber, because I've already called Beat Saber one of my VR... Actually, last year, Beat Saber wasn't even my VR game of the year. It was Tetris Effect. So... Tetris is just, it's back. But what about the decade? Let's talk about some of the most influential games of the decade. And I've got a couple lists here, and I'm going to look into chat, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, as to what you think maybe the most influential games of the 2010s are. And I've got a couple that I thought of. And two games that came to mind, I'm going to give reasons why I think they're influential. Two games that came to mind actually released in 2009. They didn't get popular until 2010. So... The first one is Minecraft and League of Legends. So they both came out in 2009, but they became very popular in 2010, and they were both very influential in different ways. So Minecraft became a crossover hit. It was a household name. It was the game that all the kids were playing, and it finally kind of started getting noticed in 2010, even though it's a 2009 game. League of Legends, the reason I put it in here is because it finally brought esports to America. And that's why I call it influential. It's that esports has been popular around in other places. Like for 10 or 15 years, we were looking at Korea where StarCraft was the national sport. And everybody was saying, I remember in the 2000s, on my show even, I would have conversations of how do we get esports to pick up in, which I don't even know if it was called esports at the time, but competitive gaming taking off in the U.S. And really what I said it needed to be was it needed to be something that was accessible enough to watch with competent announcers. It was really about the shoutcasting, which is the term for it, and finding the competent shoutcasters and a game that can be understood without having to know every little thing about it. And so I thought it was going to be more like a fighting game or something would really break the mold. But I think League of Legends is the one that really, the first one I saw that really broke through into more mainstream. I know Counter-Strike GO is pretty big and it's going strong and StarCraft, obviously. But League of Legends were the one that opened the door. Other games that have come out since have walked through that door and said, hello, we're here. Hi, Overwatch. How you doing? But I think League of Legends showed that it was possible because League of Legends was selling out Staples Center in Los Angeles before all those other places were. Fortnite also came out this decade. Tiger Claw believes, yes, it actually did. That's on my list, too. Because it is so much of a crossover hit that, you know, everybody knows about it. And you'd go to sports stadiums and people would be doing their favorite Fortnite dance on the Jumbotron at sports stadiums. And you know, they would have the players do their Jumbotron, their dances on the Jumbotron. So that's there. I also have, in terms of mobile games, Pokemon Go. Do you remember the week Pokemon Go came out? Before it was a dead game. Hashtag dead game. Actually, it's still alive. But you remember the week it came out? Maybe the week after? Man, wasn't that a great time to be alive? Everybody was together. People actually went out and hung out at the parks. And they were nice to each other. They were going out and catching Pokemon. We went to our local park. Me and my now wife went to our local park that weekend it came out. And it was like 100-degree weather. It was like right in the middle of the summer. And for the first time, I almost couldn't find a parking space in my local park because it was that full. It's not usually that full, even on the weekends. And the reason was everybody we were passing by going around had their phones out and they were catching Pokemans and spinning stops. And we went up to there was like a picnic table area, and there was someone there handing out water to other Pokemon trainers. So that, for a while, everybody, for about 2 or 3 weeks, everybody was playing Pokemon Go, not just people in this chat room, but other people that don't usually play games. And some parks hated it because they were getting overcrowded, especially in some like public places, and other parks loved it because it brought crowds to the parks. Those were some of the ones that I said kind of were my some of the more influential games that I can think of the decade. You know, obviously, like VR showed up in about 2013 and stuff, but it's not really. There's been influential things inside VR, but not anything kind of in the gaming industry, which is why I don't have that much VR stuff in here. We're going to talk about VR in the news of the decade part. But Questbuster says Skyrim is a key catalyst for the proliferation of open world games this decade. Yes. I mean, Skyrim obviously was not the first open world game, but it was the first one that I think was really accessible to people on console. Because Morrowind was a PC game. They ported Morrowind to Xbox, but it was a little bit heavy-handed. Like it was hard to play, especially on Xbox, because they kept the font size from the PC version. And it was a lot of reading. And Skyrim, I think, I think Oblivion actually was kind of the first one, but I think that was the 2000s. So Skyrim, just capturing the imagination of it. Because Oblivion was an open world game, and that turned a lot of people onto it. And then Skyrim was a huge thing on 11/11/11. I remember that was the release date of Skyrim. Those were some of the ones I thought. Orange Sound Radio is actually having the exact same show roll tonight. So you can tune into them and see what they think some of the more influential games of the decade are. Yeah, and Questbuster says, Morrowind could be tough to get into for console players. Oblivion streamlined some things, and then Skyrim just, OMG, it's Max von Sydow and Dragons and Fusro Da and everything and all that good stuff. But what I really want to talk about a little bit is some of the big headlines. And I have not prepared this segment. However, on my I've been doing this show since 2005, which means I've been doing episodes pretty much weekly since 2005. So I have a whole bunch of episodes from the 2010s. And when I do the podcast, you probably notice I actually put in the title of the podcast like the main story I talked about that day. And on BobbyBlackWolf.com, which is not FogNetwork.com, I actually have a list where you can actually go back and download episode one. Please don't. It's not that great. Sound quality is terrible. I don't know what I didn't know what I was doing. But you can go all the way back there and see what I was talking about in 2005. But I'm going to actually go through and look at some of the stuff that was I was talking about in 2010 and kind of what weeks I was talking about it. So we were actually talking about net neutrality as early as January 24th, 2010. And also Rock Band Network was coming out on that same time. Yeah, because the FTC was pondering regulations on ISPs in 2010. We're still there, right? Or also early in 2010, EA's new franchises. And I'm clicking in to see if I like link an article that I can put on it. Oh, okay. So this was the blurb here. Mitch Lasky was the executive vice president of mobile and online and electronic arts and believes that EA went wrong trying to create new franchises rather than making sequels to established brands. So that was something we talked about in January of 2010. So let's see here. I'm going to kind of go through And see what more things. Sony limiting used games in February of 2010. Sony is now requiring a registration for users of SOCOM, U.S. Navy SEALs, Fireteam Bravo 3 to play online multiplayer, which may cost you. So this was the first time we had heard of an online season pass, was in February 21st, 2010. And they also patented a universal game controller, which means they may or may not be working on one. They haven't. 10 years later, and they haven't. PS3 other OS removed in April of 2010. We talked about that. Let's see. The Nintendo 3DS was also in March of 2010. PlayStation Move. What was the Sonypocalypse? I called something the Sonypocalypse. So remember this. In March of 2010, ladies and gentlemen, due to a leap year glitch in the hardware, all older PlayStation 3s around the world were unusable for 24 hours on March 1st. Oops. Blur also was coming out at this time. It was a great racing game. It was one of my favorites. Blur and Split Second were both coming out in 2012, and I really enjoyed Blur. This was also, I think, around the time we were getting into the Supreme Court stuff, so we'll talk about that as we go through. Let's see here. EA Sports Online Pass was introduced in May of 2010. So that was when we first got a season pass. Project Natal. Do you remember Project Natal? I believe that's what they wound up calling an Xbox Kinect, was Project Natal. So the price was announced in May of 2010. Microsoft Kinect came out in July 18th, 2010. And that is also when, ladies and gentlemen, 1 vs. 100 was canceled. Xbox Live Primetime shut down in 2010. We're still in 2010. Let's see. We were talking a lot about Harmonix. Harmonix was sold in November of 2010. And, Viacom sold Harmonix. So they had already bought it. Rock Band 3 was out. And so Viacom was selling them. Witcher 2. We actually talked about Witcher 2 in November of 2010. The Witcher 2 is being released without DRM on the PC, but we'll fine you for stealing it. All right. That's awesome. Some of the stuff. So now we're going into 2011 to see what things are. We were talking about... in February of 2011, the Xbox community, I guess, let's see here, the Xbox 360 community sites closed down. So there were some sites that were huge in the Xbox 360 community. There was this was kind of when Microsoft stopped really treating the community all that well. They had gotten rid of the people that were really tuned into fostering like the community sites like us. There was an Amazon App Store was coming out in April of 2011. PlayStation Under Siege, Day 18, May 8th, 2011. Why would I say that? A live report from Day 18 of PlayStation Under Siege. Let's see here. This was when PlayStation Network was down for a month. Sony CEO Howard Stringer sent out an open letter about the downtime and played the tsunami card. Sony was offering identity theft protection to U.S. customers. So that was what was going on there. So that was the Sonypocalypse and stuff. So that was fun. Yeah, so I didn't plan this segment out. I apologize to those people. It's going to be fun to try to get around this. So December 25th, 2011, I actually did a show on Christmas night. Microsoft bans guns. Microsoft banned gun items from the Avatar store in 2011. Then we were in 2012. We were talking about used games for the next Xbox, about how they weren't going to allow it. So this is when I started getting called anti-consumer. Also in 2012, as we kind of go through, the Better Business Bureau on Mass Effect 3. So this was around the time that everybody was upset about Mass Effect 3 being people didn't like the ending, and they called the Better Business Bureau on it because it was false advertising, something like that. May of 2012 is when 38 Studios closed. Do you remember that? And then one of the things July of 2012, I loved this. This is what I was looking for. I actually titled this, You Like Downloadable Games. And essentially the NPD, which is the sales tracking, says that more and more consumers are opting to download their games rather than going through retail channels, which is why an unexpected game is Epic Games' most profitable. And I actually clicked on this article. It's still up, thankfully. Because Tim Sweeney in 2012 said that platform convergence and freemium is the inevitable future. How right was that? The most profitable game we've ever made in terms of man years invested versus revenue is actually Infinity Blade. It's more profitable than Gears of War. So if you remember, Infinity Blade was an iPhone game, or it's a mobile game that you played, you know, you slashed and stuff like that. So, yeah, he predicted the future on that. All right, so let's see. We're in 2012. Let's see here. Fez versus Microsoft. Ooh, the Ouya was July of 2012. There we go. That was pretty good. That was wonderful. EA versus Zynga. This was, I think, when Zynga completely ripped off The Sims Online. Yeah, The Ville is too close to The Sims Social, and they actually went to court and had, like, that stuff going on. Let's see here. 2012 was the girlfriend mode controversy from Gearbox Software, if you remember the Necromancer DLC for Borderlands 2. So that was when I had that interview. 2012 was also when Vogue Network launched, by the way. So we moved over to Vogue Network at that time. Then I had a whole bunch of interviews in October. I must have had a really busy Dragon Con, or that was PAX or something. I don't know. The Nintendo Wii U came out in November of 2012. Disney bought Lucasfilm in November of 2012. We talked about that a little bit. And then on December 16th, 2012, the title is actually, ladies and gentlemen, Ni No Kuni Demo Sucks. So if you're wondering where the Ni No Kuni joke comes in, that's where it is. December of 2012 is when it shows up. THQ declared bankruptcy as well in there. And then we go into 2013. And let's see, going through, that's when I interviewed Jennifer Hale, was in 2013. SimCity came out, and the new version, everybody hated it. The PS4 was announced in February of 2013 as well. Then I must have gone to PAX East, because I have a whole lot of interviews from PAX East. EA removed their online passes on May of 2013, so that was short-lived, wasn't it? I had an interview about The Witcher 3. I actually did an interview about The Witcher 3 on June 23rd, 2013, so you can go back to listen to that. That must have been at E3. So then Microsoft reversed their always online stance. I remember that. The Nintendo 2DS came out in 2013, because we talked about that a little bit. Oh, 2013 is also when Nintendo and Evo had their little spat where Nintendo wouldn't allow them to do stuff. Earthbound was released on the Wii U Virtual Console in 2013. That was good. That's something I felt was important to share. Steam Family Sharing showed up in 2013. It seemed like it was more recent than that, but it wasn't. YouTube Content ID Massacre in December 2013. There we go. And also, 2013 is about the time, I believe that's when I had the Oculus Rift. So somewhere in there is my Oculus. My first 48 hours with the Oculus Rift was August 4th, 2013. SJ1Matt says, 2012, was that your first PAX East? It might have been my first PAX East, yes. Because I think I've been to two, and I think 2012 was one, and I think 2014 was the other. And I didn't do any media stuff at 2014. So Flappy Bird flaps away in 2014. Jack Trenton left in 2014. Oculus was sold to Facebook in 2014, because I had all that stuff. ET cartridges, those ET cartridges, we talked about it in 2014. That was in April of 2014, so I'm kind of going up for it. So we're halfway through. My interview with Billy Mitchell that I did on the podcast was in June 22nd, 2014. That's when that was. And then I got written up in Variety for trying to interview him again. Let's see here. The game, the developer kit 2 for the Oculus Rift came in August 3rd, 2014, so about a week. Sweeping Twitch.tv changes. Will competitors follow suit? August 10th, 2014. Let's see here. Twitch.tv has gone through some massive sweeping changes in preparation of their acquisition by Google. And that's ruffling the feathers of... Oh, so yeah. Get this. So at this time, we were assuming Twitch.tv was going to get bought by Google. Spoiler alert, they got bought by Amazon instead. Yeah. And then there was an alternative or something, and I don't know what that was, because I didn't put it in the show notes, because it was a teaser. PS4 SharePlay showed up in 2014. There was a Half-Life 3 fan campaign, whatever. The first Jackbox Party Pack came out in November of 2014. We're going to be playing that in a couple days. At a thing. So, yeah, so now we're halfway through the decade. All that stuff happened. The HoloLens was announced in 2015. We start having some games delisted from stores in 2015. We talked about The Witcher 3 again on in May of 2015. Was it dumbed down for consoles? Yes, it was. PlayStation 4 backwards compatibility coming in November 2015. It didn't really come. It was kind of there, but not really. Then there was the Nintendo NX patent in December of 2015. That's what we called it, the Nintendo NX. The Steam Link and controller I got in January 2016. Five Nights at Freddy's World. So I guess Five Nights at Freddy's was already out, but FNAF World came out and was taken away. Amazon Lumberyard's game engine was announced in 2016. Miitomo hit the App Store in 2016. I had it right here, and then I forgot. I lost where it was. But it's in the middle of 2016 is when that hit. No Man's Sky came out in 2016, so there were all the death threats, so that was a fun story to cover. Then Pokemon Go and the NES Classic were July of 2016. Lots of fun times. Or at least I think they announced, I don't remember if the NES Classic actually came out in 2016 or... Ah, okay. That was when they announced the NES Classic, was at that time. Wii U not ceasing production yet in November of 2016. We talked a lot about No Man's Sky because that was kind of a big thing and they had updates and stuff. And then Super Mario Run came out in December of 2016. The Nintendo Switch was revealed in January of 2017. Then E3 was announced they were going public. So that was when they started having public things come in. I think early in the 2010s, I kind of missed them because I'm trying to go through these things. That's when Schwarzenegger versus EMA was. So we had the Supreme Court case at the beginning of the decade, and I completely missed that for some reason. I talked about it on several episodes, but that was put into courts and then finished during the beginning part of this decade. Miiverse was shut down in 2017. That's why there was the Miiverse Preservation Project that we talked about. Loot boxes as gambling started. That all started. The first time I asked a question was November 2017. And then there was a lawsuit about Pokemon Go because there was an augmented reality lawsuit settled. And does Pokemon Go kill people? Was the way I put it in there. Net neutrality was repealed at the end of 2017. And then 2018, we got Nintendo Labo. Was announced in January of 2018. PlayStation VR stuff came out around probably 2017. Because I've got something else about PlayStation VR in here. So this is kind of more recent stuff. Not really that much big stuff. But I'm wondering, you know, those are some of the things I've decided to talk about over the past decade. And Tiger Hall says, this decade was also the announcement of the new Intellivision console. Yes, I'm looking forward to the Amico. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to in 2020, is getting the Intellivision Amico and seeing what that's all about and seeing what Tommy's got in for us. Metal Mayhem says, 2012 was a big game for me in the sense that it's when I finally made the jump to PC gaming with Diablo 2 as my first game. Then I finally joined Steam in March of 2013. And Questbuster was talking about SimCity. That SimCity killed the SimCity franchise. And City Skylines pretty much took over. I have City Skylines. I haven't played it that much because just like with Civilization VI, I'm worried that like the minute I open it, 7 hours is going to pass. And Questbuster says, yeah, SimCity. They cannot remove online from SimCity, but did it anyway later because outrage SimCity. Yeah. I mean, it was probably not easy to remove, which is why they didn't really want to do it. And then there was enough outrage that they put in the man hours to remove it. As Sherwood Matt says, Undertale from 2015 is one of my top five games of the decade. That one has a lot of social consciousness, especially from specific segments of gaming. There's a whole genre of remixes on YouTube of songs that are like, oh, but it's Megalovania. So we are going to take a quick music break. I apologize. I don't think anybody's in the green room. But we are going to take a quick music break because... ladies and gentlemen, I do actually have a new bumper tonight, and I'm actually kind of excited about this bumper. It's really cool. We're going to take a quick music break, and maybe people can talk about some of their favorite headlines from the past decade, because I missed stuff. And you're going to tune into OLR, and they're going to say something that I totally forgot about because maybe I didn't make it a headline in one of my 800 episodes or whatever, 400 episodes from the decade or something. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Bobby Blackwell, I choose you.
I want to be the very best.
That's right. That's me. So, so that was actually not a real bumper, but what it was is Video Games Live, the Kickstarter for Video Games Live, one of the backer things on it was you can get the voice of Ash Ketchum to say your name, and he chooses you, and so I got the file this week. So, so I actually have Ash Ketchum choosing me here on my podcast, and so I'm now a Pokemon. I actually still have the rewards here from that as well. Here's the original singer for Pokemon. It's Jason Page, and then the Pokemon from Video Games Live, and it's actually like a red vinyl, a red see-through vinyl, and it's got the Video Games Live version of the Pokemon theme, a little bit that you heard there, and then the Pokemon montage from a previous. The B-side is the Pokemon montage from one of the previous Video Games Live albums. Akuma JP says, Bobby is a Pokemon. What is your ability? I like that. Sturlock says Snarky Truth. Yeah. So you knew wolf Pokemon that is black. Well, Act Eft, I don't know how to breed Pokemon, but maybe you're on it. I don't know. Would I be shiny or not? That's what I want to know. So, in fact, why don't we just play this again? We'll play this one more time, even though I know on the podcast you've already heard, but here's the bumper.
Bobby Black Wolf, I choose you.
That's me. I got chosen again. I'm going to be the very best at whatever this is. All Pokemon can be shiny. I want to be a shiny Pokemon. Can I be a shiny Pokemon? Awesome. So, so that's going to get right in there with the Charles Martin A. bumper is getting replayed over and over and over again. I want to see if anybody wants to call in. We actually do have somebody in the green room, actually. So why don't we take a call here on the last show of the year. So let's take this call and see who it is. Bobby Blackwell, if you are on the air, who is this?
Choo-choo for the last show of the decade. It's Jim Sally.
Jim Sally, what's up, man?
Choo-choo, not much, man. Not much, brother.
How are you doing? How's your holidays going to be? How are they?
My holidays are going to be excellent this year. I tabulated my GameStop gift cards to $165 this year.
Ting, nice. Ting.
So I'm cashing in on some old school PS4 games that I haven't played yet.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sequels that I haven't heard of before, like Red Dead Redemption 2. Did you know there was a sequel to Red Dead Redemption?
I heard about it, yes.
Did you know they made another Skyrim after they made the last Skyrim?
They did?
And you can play this thing online? What? And that made me think about what is my most impactful game of this past decade.
What is that?
And I'd have to think, now I know it's kind of, some people might think it's lame, but I have to think the most impactful game for Jim Sally this last decade definitely has been Minecraft. Has been the biggest game.
I can understand that. That was my first most influential game of the decade.
Guaranteed, like, that has changed everything. Everyone I know that did not play FPSs somehow managed to play Minecraft. All the kids that, you know, wanted to play a game with their parents, that seems to be the game that everyone gravitates to. There were some close seconds this year, though, to Minecraft. Mm-hmm. A close second for the decade, of course, also was Wii Bowling. Now, I know technically, I think that came out in the first decade of the century, but...
Yeah.
But it was pretty popular still this year when I moved to the north and we had no internet.
Yeah.
And, of course, another good runner-up for a lot of people would have to be, I can't think of what it's called now because I don't play it. Oh, Fortnite, sorry.
Fortnite. Yeah. Yeah, no, those are both, like, really crossover events, too. It's like, you know, even people that aren't gamers know of Minecraft and Fortnite. Either as, you know, they like them or they're tired of them and they roll their eyes.
And I think the main thing that, yeah, exactly. But the main thing that both of those games did was just make it ridiculous enough for everybody. Mm-hmm. So no one takes it too seriously. And I think that is the key you know, I think that's the key motion for video games in the next decade is let's stop taking it seriously. The days of Halo 2, the days of Halo 2, Jim Sally are over. Let's go make a castle
Halo
of Minecraft
2
together.
Didn't take itself that seriously. Maybe
dude,
people
I don't know
took
what
it.
You're talking about. People took Halo 2 very
yes,
seriously.
Yes, but the game itself didn't take itself too seriously. Like, especially when the grunts got hit with grenades, they would make funny comments.
Yeah, but I mean, when Halo 2 came out, it wasn't about killing grunts, man. Right. It was about killing your friends.
Yeah.
And I had, dude, I had friends I used to print out maps on, like, blueprint printers and stuff to try to figure out. Like, it was insane. And I don't want that no more. And I don't think anyone wants that anymore from video games. I think
younger people do. You know, the people that were your age, when you were, whatever age you were when you played Halo 2, it's those people that are that age today that want an experience like that. And
I
think
I guess
we just
you're right.
grew
There's
up.
There's not a lot of late teenagers in my life anymore. Yeah. It's all preteen or old like me.
Yeah, and all the teenagers are playing Fortnite, and they're taking it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Very seriously.
Well, I can tell you right now, my family gets together and we're all wearing banana suits. There ain't nothing serious about Fortnite. Bobby?
Yes?
You ring in the good New Year's. I will. And you ring it in safely. You hear me, brother?
I will. I will do so.
We want lots of Bobby for another 10 more years to come.
Trust me, I do not get near things that explode. So I'm not out there watching that.
Love it. Speaking of which, I'm going to go drain the diesel out of the tractor before it freezes over tonight.
All right.
Stay warm. See you later, brother.
Stay warm.
Yeah, you too, man. Bye.
Jim Sally coming in here. Tyclaw says, as someone who was spoiled with everything Star Wars, Halo is overrated. Star Wars does a better job at portraying a guy in a helmet than Halo does with theirs. They're not really comparable. Whatever. But yeah, I mean, Star Wars, you know, R2-D2. I have my shirt that says it's R2-D2. R2-D2 says exterminate for whatever reason. It says I loved him in Star Trek because I did see the movie. I saw it. So coming up next, I don't see anybody else in the green room, but coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. I like to check in with them and see what's going on and how things are going there here on the last show of the decade for them as well. Sacramento, are you guys there?
I think so. Hi, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. Last show of the decade. It's been a while. It's been a long decade.
It's been a long decade. A decade mostly spent on this little network here that we started. I mean, mostly. The Voice Geeks Network, and a big thanks to all the other shows throughout the years that have really helped be a part of the network here and be a part of the family. Special shout out to Girls Gone Wow. They hit 400 episodes today.
Congratulations to them. Awesome.
It's a huge milestone. It really is. We have a lot of longevity shows here.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all been around for a while. But if you have a podcast that you might want to have added to our kind of like our little auto tweeter and our website and stuff, let us know. You don't have to have been around 400 episodes.
Join our little family here, and you've got a podcast, and you know you've put out about 10 episodes or so that you kind of show you're stuck with it or you're sticking with it. Get in touch with us, because obviously we've had a few that have just pod faded over the last few years, and we haven't exactly had a lot of folks in to replace. So definitely, we are hiring. Except it's not really hiring. It's we are networking.
We aren't paying you. So that's
no. It's sadly it's not one of those types of things. We're helping each other out. We're all making the same amount.
Yeah, and as I was, I know you guys are going to be going through the headlines as well. And I just kind of was like, I didn't structure and think about it ahead of time. But a lot of times when I was reading the headlines from like 2010 or 2011, I'm like, it was that long ago. And it's like I thought oh, that was only a couple of years ago. No, it was 2011.
Yeah, it's funny because the way you did that, I thought that was a neat idea to go through your own kind of show history to look at the headlines. I didn't think of that. I just told all the hosts to think of their top three before coming tonight. Then when you started doing that, I went to the Orange Lounge Radio Wiki and I started kind of looking at some of those things. And I was like, wow, those things happened like 10 years ago? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that's what I was like. I was like, really? That long ago? I'm like, We knew about the Switch in 2013, really, or 2014, and I'm like, and I just think it was like, oh, just like a couple years ago. No.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Switch ended up coming out by 2017, so yeah, not too not too long, all things considered. Time flies, as they say.
And I loved
day 29.
And I loved the one thing I loved, and I did not expect this. I didn't read this ahead of time. I learned about it on the air because I talked about how Twitch TV was having these changes. And in the show notes, it says, in anticipation of their upcoming acquisition by Google.
I, you know, when you mentioned that, I do remember that there was a big like thing about how it was kind of assumed that Twitch TV was going to get picked up by Google, and it was like a last minute change. And I don't remember if the YouTube acquisition had come, but I think there was something to do with a monopoly sort of thing was kind of feared there. So Google kind of backed out.
Yeah. So it was interesting to kind of go back through, and then I'm like, oh, I was terrible at naming some of these things and like interview with this, and so I might have missed some things that were big. So that's why I'm looking forward to you guys, where you actually curated your top three instead of just like winged it like I did.
Well, I doubt we're going to hit everything, because even when you were going through the list, I was like, oh yeah, that was a big thing. But you know, our spin on it is that it's our personal list, and so that means it's neither right nor wrong, because it's our personal. The same thing would go for you guys in chat, because we'd really like to know what you guys in chat think is the top stories of the decade, as well as your biggest games of the decade.
I'm not going to take up way any more, like, other than I got to ask this. So now you're, I guess Alan's in the cult of the Instapot now, so I guess we need to like trade recipes. Is that how this works?
Yes, I think so.
I went better than the Instapot.
What'd you get?
I have a Dutch oven.
No.
You can do anything.
That's a little more old
in a
school, right?
Dutch oven.
Yeah.
Can you bake bread in an Instapot? Not very well.
Well, he got a bread machine like two Christmases ago, so.
Guess who doesn't need any of that? Because I have a Dutch oven. Me. And I made pot roast.
Can you pressure cook in a Dutch oven?
I have a pressure cooker already.
Oh, well.
Yeah, wait a
minute. Instapot win.
How come that excuse didn't work for me?
Why do I need to buy an appliance that I already have stuff that it does? Plus, I can use my crock pot and my Dutch oven and my pressure cooker all at the same time for different dishes.
Can you make waffles in a Dutch oven?
Yes.
Sometimes about convenience or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, yes. Definitely between the two of us, Alan is the chef, but he would love to trade recipes with you and or Jennifer.
Yeah, it'll be mostly Jennifer, not me.
Fair enough.
So what else? I probably stole your entire show role, but what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
We will go through what headlines we have. Actually,
pot roast.
I would say we have a few like gaming doing good stories. We have some interesting stories about I can say we have a story about it, like a 12-year-old who developed a game before Loki did. But no, I don't want to make light of it, because it's actually a pretty awesome story. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Video games that are developed.
To be fair, I did develop games when I was also 12 as well. I just don't have them anymore because they were like on Click and Play and ZZT.
Well, wait, because somebody might dig one up and play it on Twitch, because we got that story too.
I am going to be taking a page from Loki's book in the following year. And my goal is to actually complete it.
I was going
to
say, also not making a game?
Well, not making a game, but I'm actually planning on finishing my novel.
Oh, for sure. I thought you were going to make a game. I was really excited at
I'm
that
going
prospect.
To write a book.
Okay, well, hey, whatever works.
And I will expect every one of you to buy a copy.
Well, I'll make a movie, and then we'll complete the trifecta.
And I also seriously want to do the Vogue Network cookbook. So send me recipes.
Send your Instapot recipes to Jamie.
Yeah. Well, instant pot, Dutch oven. Just send me a good recipe that would be something that you would contribute to a Vogue feast.
I'm going to remake Cats with real cats.
There you go.
Good luck hurting them.
I'm going to see it again next week. When I came home after we saw it Thursday, I actually cried like a baby because it brought back so many good memories to me.
I'm going to go the opposite. Instead of, you know, having people put into kind of cat bodies, we'll put cat heads on people bodies.
Please don't make fun of it.
All right.
Yeah, and the story about the Twitch, the person finding the old DOS game on Twitch, that was on my show, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to get to it. But I'm scared because I also wrote a game when I was 12 years old, and it is on the internet somewhere. I know where I could find it, and I'm afraid somebody's going to find it.
I didn't even know that. I knew you had the Acid Tetris thing.
Yeah, no, this was before that. I made a BBS door game. Earlier. And I do know the shareware version is on some FTP sites and stuff, so I don't think anybody can play it. Because it's
that's okay.
Rob
has, you know, public access shows that are also floating around out there somewhere on a tape.
And you've seen them. You've seen
I have
it.
Seen them. They're great. I don't know why you won't.
Because they're gone, Loki. They're gone. Like, they were on tapes. Tapes are gone. Did you ever
I've
see it?
I've seen it a couple of times. And I know that you do have a VHS tape somewhere.
It's somewhere, and I think...
And it's in this house.
My dad would have one or two.
Mm.
So, and then the station might still have them for all I know. I don't think they ever
Why
get rid of those
out?
Things. Because you guys don't need to see them.
But I'm not necessarily saying for the sake
I would show it to Bobby and Jennifer in a private screening in the theater, but I'm not putting them on the internet ever.
I'm not saying something like that. I'm saying for you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It would be something, even if I had ever done anything like that. I'm super embarrassed to see myself on TV, but I have all of those saved because it's a part of my life. I would expect you'd want to keep it
I know Bobby's trying to wrap up. I won't take too much time. It's not... I'm not embarrassed about it because I think it's really impressive what we did when we were 18. But there is the fact of the matter is the public access show that I did involve another woman that, we keep in touch on Instagram and things like that.
You had your own Wayne's World.
Anything about distribution would need to involve her. She needs to have a say in it, too. That's
you had your own Wayne's World.
That would be like, let's say this show ends next year. And then I'm like, I'm going to just start putting copies of whatever out there and just not tell Jamie or Matt. You know, it'd be kind of messed up. So.
But you had your own Wayne's World.
Kind of. It wasn't really like Wayne's World, though. It was more like Mad TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. And people are telling me to fess up. No, what I did is I wrote a BBS door game in Quick Basic 4.5. But it was actually wrestling. Because, you know, I hate wrestling now. But back then, when I was a kid, I loved it. Because that was when it was good.
That was when... The last time wrestling was cool.
Yeah, that was back when you had wrestlers like, Hulk Hogan, The Undertaker, Macho Man. Even I, look, I know who these people are. Yeah. That's
Jimmy Superfly.
Right
yeah. yeah. So
that
I made it was a door game dog. Where you actually were a wrestler in each BBS had their own, you know, had their own federation and you would fight other people. And it was like, do you punch, kick, whatever. It was like a text adventure type of thing. But then if you got up to, like, the number one contender, then you could challenge the champion of that BBS. And you could even, like, write taunts and stuff, and it went on a message board and stuff like that. I charged $10 for registration. I got 4 registrations for them. So I mean, made $40 from that door game. I don't know why they paid me for it, but...
That sounds awesome, first of all. Like, it sounds like The Pit, but it's wrestling.
Yeah.
I think we need to find that game. I think this is a goal for the next decade to set up the VOG Network BBS, where you can – because you can do that through, like, Terminal and stuff now, right? You can still, like, do old BBSs to come play the Bobby Black Wolf wrestling game. And we'll have a registered copy because, you know, wink, wink, I know the author.
Yeah, but see, I don't – here's the problem. I don't know if I still have the code to generate the registered copy.
Oh!
Because basically the way it worked is there was a registration file that was kind of encrypted. So I would generate that file, call into the BBS, upload it. They would put it in the directory, and that would unlock the game for them.
Okay, so we need someone to hack your game.
No, and actually, I actually still have the source code, and I still have Quick Basic 4.5. You know that classic machine I play all my Sierra games on? It's all there.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Oh my,
the entire source code to that Quick Basic game. So I could even just recompile it and make every copy a registered copy if I really wanted to.
Wow. Well, the more you know, here's what I learned at the end of the decade. Bobby Blackwolf once wrote a wrestling game.
Yep. How long time ago, and I made $40 off of it.
Well, congratulations.
And no, I have not seen anybody play it on Twitch yet.
Well, hold out hope. Now it's out there.
But I know it's out there because I've searched for it and I've found it. And it's the latest version and everything. So it's the shareware version's out there somewhere.
Did you put it under Bobby Blackwolf or another name?
No, because Bobby Blackwolf didn't exist yet. I had not used that name yet.
All right. Then I know what to look for.
Good luck.
All right.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Happy New Year, y'all. Be safe.
Thank you. Happy 2020, everybody. Take care.
Happy last day of Hanukkah.
So that is it for me. I will be back next decade, i.e. next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Everybody's going to go Google that game. Oh, geez. The thing is about that game, it was a door game. So it doesn't run by itself. You need to attach it to BBS software that – and I don't even know if the attaching mechanism would still work. I don't remember even what I used or anything. So I don't even know if it'd actually run. But it was it's out there. I don't know. We actually have – there's a friend of the show who's big into BBSs. We actually had him on the show. He's from breakintochat.com. It's a blog about BBSs, and he has a BBS. He might – I don't know. He might be able to get it to work. He might be able to resurrect it. I don't know. But we'll be back next Sunday night, next decade, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Join us live. Interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show by emailing an MP3 or a link to a video to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. Instagram @BobbyBlackWolf. That's new, kind of. Or twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. That's where I am at during the week. And also you can submit feedback on episode pages over at VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for some of you who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of all the people that are here in the chat room. And I want to thank SJ100 Matt for resubscribing during the show here for his 11th month in a row. Twitch math is kind of weird. Some people have 12 months. Some people have 11 months. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. But it says he's resubscribed for 11 months in a row. Thank you so much for the subscription. If you subscribe to the channel, you get access to the video archives. So you can actually see all the stuff I was trying to hold up and making terrible radio for the podcast audience. Really apologize for that. But let me get out of here. Please have a very safe and happy new year. Don't do anything dumb. Please have all 10 fingers when you get back. Don't do anything dumb, please. I know it's going to sound fun at the time, but don't do it. I want to see you next year with all 10 fingers so you can type things at me that I might not read on the air. I'm going to get out of here. Have a wonderful rest of the year. And be safe. And play some games. Don't look for my game, though. I don't want that. See ya. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.